and chapter 1 says, and at the second semester, she said it's the same approval whatever that we have in all the other
subjects.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm just reading it for the sake of sensitive revision, but I don't have to read it. It's just to give it to you.
Yes, no, you can read it.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure
okay. If
there's any new wedding that you never dealt with anywhere.
An applicant degree found the decision of a provincial head of social development within the section 97 or 98. Or is a person holder agreed by decision of a provincial head of social development in terms of section 99 may not appeal against that decision really in the scheme for social development. So what now comes out is this assessment issue. The provincial head of social development must force part of the qualified person to assess ECD program. That's out now, and that is now 97 6. In the chapter 2, an applicant that is not satisfied with the outcome of an appeal referred to in subsection 1 may apply to the competent division of the High Court to review that decision. And then what was said previously, the reference to section 4, 2 and 3, that's now in section 97 as subclause 7. There was just one other issue that was raised yesterday that never really resolved. And that whether there should be transplants for a few procedures. It was not finally resolved. So I don't know, I didn't provide for it for now because there was no conclusion reached at yesterday's meeting on this issue.
Yes, there wasn't. I think the discussion came close to being 14 days, as informed by the provisions of the appeals court, and that I think, if my memory serves me well, it was like within 14 days when the appeal is lodged. Didn't we say that? That's the last discussion we had. So can we have that issue?
I think that there was a discussion on that night, but I think we were waiting for some kind of reference to what the appeal board said before we could come to. So I don't know if anybody has any investigation on that. I would be happy if that's what it said, to be in line with other procedures.
Yes, please love the help.
Okay. First thing is that if you look at the appeal procedures they're speaking about in the piece of legislation, it amounts to administrative action. And in that case, you can use the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act to deal with appeal procedures. And I think maybe if you want to, we could mirror the provisions of this piece of legislation with regard to time periods and incorporate it. Because the court appeal procedures usually deal with judicial processes, which you legitimately want to, we could mirror the judicial processes. But if you look at this is an issue to put against administrative procedures. And we have the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act, and in the Act it provides for cases where it provides for the same things, but also with regard to time periods for appeal procedures. So if you want to, we could look at the timestamps provided for in this Act and to substitute it.
I don't get that, because yesterday we also talked about the Act and to say that it should be checked. Does anybody have it? We just want to say, to hear the end, exact wording of what does it say.
Okay, I've got the Act with me. I'll just, maybe the committee wants to debate on how to quickly look up the provisions.
Okay, whilst we are going to resolve, because whatever we decide, Ronel will then include it in all the appeals procedures throughout here. So we'll get back to the time frame. But in the meantime, are we happy with 101 assistance without the provision of the time frame? Okay, agreed to. Let's move on to 102. Anna?
One of two deals with the assignment of functions to the municipality. An
the only amendment that was done in this particular section.
Kavita, may I just slightly, just to go back to this before we move away from this section, is that when they speak about administrative action also, they speak basically about the visas and things like that. And if you go through the provisions of the Act, they use usually 90 days of a yardstick. So the person who is requesting has 90 days in which to make a request or whatever process it is, and then the other person has an obligation to respond, and that could also be 90 days.
So we've made 90 days in other provisions. Are we happy to include 90 days in this particular one? Okay, Ronelle, can you please include the 90 days of both the uplift, the complainant, and 90 days for the response. Am I correct? That's what it says. Thank you very much. So that is one of the impressions Ronelle will make, that will run through all the appeal procedure. Throughout the act, and for me, that sounds very reasonable. I would like to welcome the Deputy Minister of Social Development. You are welcome. So with the time frames to be inserted, so when you look at the final bill, you will check if those time frames are inserted. Take us to one of the runners.
Thank you, Steve. What I to deal with the assignment of functions to the municipality. It's a similar provision to the other provisions that we discussed earlier. The insertion that was made here was in Subclause 3, where instead of a designated social worker, who is the person to whom functions will be delegated, the official to whom functions will be delegated now is a social service professional. So now that's Clause 3. The municipal manager, the person in Subsection 1, may delegate any power or duty assigned to him or her in terms of the section to a social service professional in the employ of the municipality. Then in Subclause 4, there was an error which was corrected. There was an incorrect reference to Subclause 2, which was corrected to be a reference to Subclause 3. The next amendment was to Subclause 6. As I earlier mentioned, there is only some of the decisions in terms of which an actual decision is taken, and it's that actual decision which is appealable in terms of Subclause 7 of the section. So we will just look at it again to ensure that it correctly reflects the references to the section against whom would a person might want to lodge an appeal. So what was removed there was seen to me to be superfluous provisions, and only reference made to actual decisions, but I will confirm this again also with the special advisor to ensure that they are technically correct.
I can see on my notes there was a actual care reference. Oh, it's in there. Okay. Yes, it's in there.
Any other corrections?
Are we happy with the 102 as it says? Going on? Go ahead.
Then we are on clause 103, regulation. And what was changed there is paragraph B was amended. And again, it was that issue that the insertion of references to partial care facilities and thousand youth care centers actually narrowed the application of this paragraph. So I amended it by removing the reference to a partial care facility and a thousand youth care center, which means that if one reads it in context, the Minister may make regulations in terms of Section 306 concerning and then use the assessment and compulsory monitoring of early childhood development programs. So then that means that any childhood development programs offered anywhere is subject to regulations on assessment and monitoring of ECD programs.
Any input? That takes care of 103.
Thank you, Steve. We are now on Chapter 7, Part 1.
which deals with the child protection system. The first clause there is clause 104 that relates to the strategy concerning child protection. And I do not have any amendments here. I wonder if there are maybe some of the members that have any issues here. Any Ms. Weber?
Thank you, Chair. I seem to have in subclause 2 under child protection system, I have got register. Does that have any relevance? Why I should put register there?
Any relevance? I don't have any notes. I just have here. Yes, Nana?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to consider the reference to the ministers, the South African Police Service. Is it correct or should it be safety and security? Or we've got a commissioner for
the police. Can you use the microphone? The recording.
Okay. Just a reference in clause 104.1, the reference to the South African Citizen Ministers and South African Police Service. By interpretation, will this automatically mean safety and security, or is it something that we can connect to?
I don't think that's a correct one. The South African Police Service has separate legislation in terms of dispatch function. So I don't think by referring to the Minister of Safety and Security, the steps are incorporated into that. If one wants to include references to both, you will have to include the Minister of Safety and Security additionally to a reference to the South African Police Service.
Yeah, no, I remember we had this discussion.
Thank you, Chair. It's on another issue. Can I carry on, or do you want to
see? Is it still on 104?
Yes.
Okay, no. We done with that one.
All right.
I think we had that discussion. It was deliberately left like that.
In the first line of subsection 3, I think we've got another time there. Is that liberty there, or is it going to be changed like the others?
I didn't raise it, but everywhere where we have time to time, we could interval. So Romeo will make this. Any other questions that you can? Okay, that takes care of 104. Romeo, thank you.
105 deals with the provision of child protection services. I believe the amendments that I've done here should also apply to the hidden. Since after, as the committee members will recall, after long discussions with regard to must and may, this particular clause is a must. What constitutes designated child protection services are actually listed in this clause. So to ensure that the funding, etc., speaks to exactly what designated child protection services entail. The word designated was just inserted here where it did not appear. Because designated child protection services is listed. So child protection services is quite a broad and extensive term, and it could be interpreted to mean something different as the designated child protection services. So in the heading, the word designated must be added, and in subclause 1, I have added the word designated. I've added the word designated also in subclause 2. And then in subclause 3, that reference to such other requirements as mother prescribed is added. And then there were just technical corrections on this word by regulation that is removed in other places.
Any further, because from my notes I'm covered. Any other members with any other aspects? Okay, that takes care of 105. Ronel, 106, please.
106 deals with norms and standards for child protection.
The only amendment there was the addition of childhood hosts also in the shopping, to the shopping list. The other amendment is the deletion of subclause 3. A subclause with the same wording already forms part of let me not fall over my words here. Under the provisional clause, we always have that section that yes, it is there. If I can refer you to clause 105, subclause 3, the requirement that you have to comply with the norms and standards and the other prescribed requirements in order to qualify for funding is already provided for in 105 subclause 3, so it's unnecessary to provide for it again in 106. Designation of child protection organization. 107.1 and 2 has no amendments made, but to subclause 3, they took the correction of the word of for the second of and of is inserted. And we've also confirmed that one cannot delegate from the DG to a CPR because they're not in the same line of authority. One assigns from one organization or one institution to another one. And then in 4, that reference to section 303 is incorrect because that actually deals with surrogate motherhood. The reference to section 304, in terms of section 304, is assigned the power to do inspections, etc. Then in clause 108, there are no amendments done to that clause.
Any other before the note takes up 108? Any other additions that Ronel might not have taken care of at 107? Okay, that takes care of 107. Is it enough?
One of eight is with an exception of child welfare organization, but I do not have any amendments to 108.
Any amendments from the members? None. That takes care of 108. We have 109 now.
With all of this attention, there is only one small amendment to subclause 2 where the word for is removed and the word of is inserted.
I've got employee.
Yeah, on that subclause 1 as well as 2.
Yes. Have you taken care of that? The word employee on subclause 2, described manner. Because anybody got employed, so what is this regulation? Oh, she changed it but forgot to underline it. I'm just seeing. So there it is, it must conduct because initially it was employed. And then we requested that it be changed.
Wasn't indicated in the way I'm indicating that I will amend that accordingly. The next clause is clause 110, which deals with the reporting of abused or neglected child and a child in need of student protection. I changed the reading of that clause because it only refers to reporting of children in need of student protection, and that's not the only reporting. something that the first year has also a portion of children that will be used in the future. The insertion here in subclause 1 was a reference to an immigration official. And then the police official was taken out and added to the bottom as one of the persons to whom a report may be made. And then after discussions with relevant officials in the department, it was indicated that when this reporting is done, there must actually be a form completed to ensure that all the information that's relevant is captured. So that's why I've added the words in the prescribed form to the end of this clause. In subclause 1, there was, it was again also restricted in that the clause referred only to reports of abuse, sexual abuse, or deliberate neglect. Now, since 2 is the reporting in terms of which any member of the public would report suspicious actions, it's not necessary to restrict it here because any member of the public has the right to report anything that seems to be wrong or where the child may be in need of protection. So that reference to abuse, sexual abuse, and deliberate neglect were removed because it's not like the previous one where the reporting is compulsory on sign of prosecution. This is just a general provision for anybody to make any reports with regard to children in need of parent protection. Then, our discussions.
You might I thought I heard you say you're taking those words out, and I'm still seeing them in here, so I'm just wondering if you could just go over that again if I think it's clear.
What I said is words that I'm going to remove are indicated in square brackets and in bold print. So anything that appears in square brackets and in bold print are going to be removed from that. It's just there that you can see what it looks like before it's amended.
Covered with them? Go on then.
The next subclause is subclause 4. And this deals with the police official to whom the report has been made. When this was discussed, it was felt that the obligation on a police official to take a matter further should not only arise when a report has been made to the police official, but that it should also, that his duty to deal with a matter should also arise from any manner of becoming aware of a child that that is in need of care and protection. So that was added to say that a police official to whom a report has been made in terms of subsection 1 or 2 or who becomes aware of a child in need of care and protection. Then there is an amendment to paragraph 8 where it was found that the term that the provision regarding within 24 hours was incorrectly placed, that was removed because the 24 hours actually applies to paragraph B, so that was just corrected to have the 24 hours referred to in the correct place. Subclause 5, again, it was decided that the sequencing of the, this list of actions that must be taken after the report has been made to the Provincial Department of Social Development or the designated child protection organisation does not quite follow. So the sequencing has changed. So in the first place, the first action that must be taken is ensuring the safety and well-being. Second is to make an initial assessment of the report. Thirdly, to investigate the truthfulness of the report. Then to initiate proceedings for the protection of the child. And then lastly, to submit the particulars as magistrate's class for the treated by the Director General for inclusion in Part A of the National Child Protection Register. Then subclause 6 was added, was inserted, a designated child protection organisation to whom a report has been made in terms of subsection 1, 2 or 4. Must report the matter to the relevant provincial department of social development. The reason why this is inserted
is there are often concerns raised that children are reported, proceedings have started, but that there's never follow-up done to ensure that the matters actually taken to its conclusion. So all matters must be reported to the relevant provincial Department of Social Development, and the reason for that is that the department must monitor the progress of all its matters reported to it in terms of subsection 6, to ensure that nothing falls through the cracks. After that, there's only a matter of numbering that chance, and then at the end, another subclause is added, and again, this was raised by officials from the department who's particularly involved in the protection of children, and what is added there is that the Provincial Department of Social Development or the designated child protection organization who has conducted an investigation as contemplated in subsection 5 must report the possible commission of an offence to a police official.
It's firstly about statutory rape, and I was wondering where resisting a man of causing physical injury, sexual abuse, or deliberately neglected doesn't actually cover statutory rape explicitly. Do we not want to include that there?
Yes,
I think I'm just trying to remember how we resolve.
I'll read and then get us back there.
Who on reasonable grounds concludes that a child has been abused in a manner causing physical injury, sexual abuse, or deliberately neglected. We spoke about statutory rape and how this at this stage doesn't make the necessary protections there around statutory rape. So is there a way that we could include it there so that it's more specific and people are more comfortable?
If you remember, we had a very long discussion around this. We even brought in the sexual offences exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And we then agreed that the sexual offences as it stands now covers that particular aspect of that we are thinking about.
I think
we also agreed that it's not happening, so we agreed that it was needing more attention.
Yes, but we also agreed that putting more weight into the X does not necessarily mean it's going to. We just, other members remember this discussion. We even said it does not mean the more ways we pile into one being, the more it will happen. So at that point we resolved, but that does not mean it. I don't know, what is the rest of the committee? Because we resolved that we leave it as is, and the sexual offences clause. Is the sexual offences bill, and the best thing to do is make sure that justice to that point when they proceed. So the concurring members and the concurring as well of the committee. That's how we resolve it. Am I correct?
Obviously, the sexual offences will also include sexual abuse, but we haven't yet said that.
Unfortunately that we read the act and you were outside. Really?
No, that was other time when we started. We even read the sexual, the sexual offences bill as it stands down. But in this particular case, like you say in sexual abuse, we deliberately, if you look at it as it stands now, the wording has changed.
Now, I'm not sure. Yes, Ms. Weber, and then...
I am closing there.
I just want to show him is that, as much as it is sexual abuse, actually we looked at the wedding, and in my understanding, we even moved to, I'm not sure if you, even this Arona, and I, we raised the issue that it's limited, so we need to make that. Are you saying it's in 102?
So 102.
Yes, because there they mean something different. But I even have a note here. And we really discussed it.
There is a problem with 121. That is it in the best interest of the child concerned with the out. It must come out.
Ms. Weber?
Thank you, Chair. I think that when we went through, we agreed in 110 in line 6 that shelter should come out.
Where are you now?
110.
Are you at? 1101.
Yeah,
the 6th line. Yes, we did say shelter before.
Okay.
I don't know, you've got that.
That sounds dreadful, that this is such a wider way to miss it.
So we put in the immigration officer, we've taken out shelter, and we've removed the in the best interest of the child. So we are happy with 1101 as it stands. And now we go to 1102.
I'm just making that note quickly here so that I do not forget it again. Okay. The next provision that we need to look at. We are actually now on a different part of the Act. We're in Part 4, and we are looking at other specific measures.
You are on 1102. Yes, I know. So I'm just, because it was a long one, so I'm just trying to make sure that people are happy for that. Remember, it's a long one. So 1102, we are all happy with the removal of the weight there in the block, okay? And then 3, nothing on 3, yes. 4, we changed the 24 hours around, right? Oh no, and then you've added the becomes awareness at the end of the next one. Okay, does that mean we are happy? There was 20.2.
Must report the matter to the relevant provincial department of social development.
Any comments? So we have to restrict resistance. Okay, agree.
The next one is also a new one, that's 7, which says the provincial head of social development must monitor the progress of all matters, and it must be matters, must monitor the progress of all matters before proceeding in terms of sufficiency.
Any other input on that? Yes, this might be it. The matter
say something about the message? Because I don't think we were happy with.
We changed the word massive in a different, in another place. Not, this is an invisible new, this is a new message for the committee.
Oh.
Before. But we did change the word massive in another place for the committee.
But we want matter from this one, doesn't make sense. On 8?
On 8, I think just the word and in terms of B, because it's removal of the alert offender. And then there's the addition of the new subclause 9, the Provincial Department of Social Development, or designated task assistant organization who has conducted an investigation as concentrated in subsection 5, must support the possible commission of an offence to a police official.
Any? No. That's the chair of 110, and the chair can come and take back his chair. We'll be moving to 1-2.
Provision that you are now dealing with is in part 4 of the Amendment Act, which forms part of chapter 7. Part 4 deals with other protective measures. Clause 165, application to terminate or suspend parental responsibilities in rights. And there was only one technical amendment, which is done in subclause 3, paragraph B, and in subparagraph Roman numeral 6. The word probability, the plural there is not correct, so this is the place for the word probability. I don't know if there's maybe other matters or the other amendments that the committee picked up. The next provision is 136, targeted households. There's a number of amendments there. The first amendment is in subclause 1, paragraph 8, where the word guardian has been inserted to indicate that where, apart from the parent or the caregiver is ill, etc., if the guardian is ill, then that could also be a reason for the recognition of the household as a childless household. As discussed during the committee meeting when this was before the committee, the abandonment of children has also been added as a reason for recognizing a household as a childless household. Hence, at the end of paragraph 8, or has abandoned the children in the household was added. Then there was also a concern raised that the recognition of a childhood household would only follow after a social worker investigation has been completed, which we all know might take a while, and that might delay any assistance that could be given to the childhood household. The obligation to investigate children in a childhood household is imposed in the Principal Act in section 160. Subsection 2, so it's not really necessary to refer to that here again, the obligation stands. So the paragraph B here has been removed to make it clear that the recognition of the child in that household is not subject to the investigation by the social worker. The reason why the social worker must investigate this is to see whether the children may have to be removed and placed in alternative care. The investigation is not done to determine whether you know, they can start receiving assistance as a child in that household. Therefore, the committee decided that they think that, that paragraph may be removed. Then, there's no amendment done to subclause 2. In subclause 3, there are two amendments. On the one hand, whenever any people are appointed in a capacity whether to provide... just to explain, wherever something is underlined, it's an insertion, and whether it's in bold brackets, in bold print, in square brackets, it's a deletion. Looking at subclause 3, whenever reference is made to the appointment of someone to work at a foster care facility or to provide ECD programs or to work at a family nursery center, it is indicated that the person must be a fit and proper person to be appointed, and it's also, there's also a subclause added to indicate that a person unsuitable to work with children is not a fit and proper person. But this insertion, this was not included in this particular clause, and obviously we are just as concerned about the safety of children in a child-headed household as we are about concerned about the safety of children in southern youth care centres or in foster care facilities. So to bring this in accordance with the rest of the Act, so the rest of the Amendment Bill, in B we added that that supervising adult that's appointed for the childhood household must also be a fit and proper person to supervise the childhood household. The reference to the not more than 12 children in a childhood household was taken out. On discussion, the committee decided that this is something that should be addressed in the norms and standards, and this is one of the reasons why in the text, in the clause on norms and standards earlier in the same chapter, and I can put this question just refer you to the current clause, child-headed households has been added, it's in the section in clause 106, as paragraph O, we've added child-headed households to ensure that there are norms and standards determined for child-headed households, and that an issue such as the number of children in a household that may be supervised by one particular supervising adult will then be addressed in the norms and standards for child-headed households. 4 is inserted, as I've already explained, to indicate that a person unsuitable to work with children is not the fit and proper person to supervise a child-headed household. Then we had structural part here that says that an organisation or an NGO may collect and administer for the child and their household a social security grant. That appeared to be not possible. I had a look at the Social Assistance Act, and that indicates, as was stated by the Cabinet Commission, that a caregiver is defined as a person over the age of 16, and that a caregiver can collect a social assistance grant under the Social Assistance Act. Hence, I've rather made a reference to the Social Assistance Act here, because that whole issue will then be covered in terms of that. The only concern that I have here now is with regard to ages, and I'll explain why. As the chair stated, there is reference made to a procurator in the Social Assistance Act, which is a person that may collect a grant on behalf of someone else. I'm not that familiar with the Social Assistance Act, so I'm not sure whether we would have to refer this to someone in the department, maybe Dr. Mabeko or somebody can just call and just find out if my interpretation is correct. But the way I read a procurator, can only collect on behalf of someone who qualifies in the first place as a caregiver to get a grant. So a child that's 15 will not be able to appoint the procurator because that child doesn't qualify as a caregiver in terms of the definition of a caregiver in the Social Assistance Act. So it seems to me, and I could be wrong, that's my interpretation, and that where a child at the head of a targeted household is younger than 16, that child will also not be able to appoint the supervising adult as a procurator to collect the social assistance grant on behalf of that child, because the child in the first place doesn't qualify. It's only if the child then reaches 16 and does qualify that the child can indeed appoint a procurator to collect a social assistance grant on the behalf of that child. But that's my interpretation. I'm not familiar with this act.
The social assistance then contemplated the fixing of the age 16 in having childhood accounts in mind. Obviously, well, somebody is age 16 in some child account. So, could either be the parents of the children or could be a sibling, for example, within the household, who then would be receiving the grant in their own life, in their own name. The question of the procurator comes in at the point where the beneficiary, for some reason or other, is unable to administer the grant. In this case, for this part of it, probably having been advised by something the court or whatever, the department will then appoint such a person to administer the grant to the benefit of the beneficiary, as opposed to paying over the grant to that person. So it's only in that and of those that the grant will be diverted from the direct person. How that relates to the situation that you need to ask. Honorable, what's going to do?
Thank you very much, Chair. I did have this discussion with Romeo, and I also discussed and do. And we do have a problem. One of the challenges that we are having at the moment is the cross-referencing. If we as a committee put the cross-referring to the Social Assistance Act, which we have very nicely explained, it means we have children that are hanging in limbo for a year. Because on this particular one, we're having 15 years. On the social assistance, we're having 16. So we have a 1 year gap, which we must take care of. And when we came up with this committee, if you remember, in this particular one, we took the aid from the education in terms of what is compulsory school going age, and we also looked at child labor in terms of that particular person being able to find a job, whether waitressing or something like that. And both they gave us 15. And now the social assistance has started at 16. So I think that's what we might just take a minute with your committee and decide what age do we finally want to push here. And that then would then determine the cost of the currency. And
can I also add that the discussion we had also dealt with the issue of hospital. And to the best of my recollection, the head of the country couldn't possibly be appointed as a parent until they had at least that if even in that situation they found to be qualified to be appointed as a parent. And of course we have the other discussion about what the prospect care placement and the prospect care guidance stands for. And on what circumstances people could access the other dynamics in the interrelation there in short memory, that at that stage, unless you know the agency, unless the truth can be placed on a person or other form of intent of care, for instance, access of some technical decision, they will not be able to comply with the child. That is the end of the house. They will not be able to apply for the process. And therefore they will technically not be able to satisfy the human population. Obviously this legislation does not sorry? Oh, okay. I thought this might be very strong. Okay, so clearly we will have to synchronize age-wise. First of all, the 15-year-old issue with the Social Assistance Act so that it is clear that children under 16 will not be able to access any form of assistance anymore. So you can't then go and recognize the child at that stage when you know for certain that there's nothing going to be able to do. In the form of bad experience or support from that. Clearly, that presents itself in the time. Unless anybody else suggests. And remember we said that children in giving head of child relationship who happen to not to qualify to have a child relationship. Okay? In any case their children are in the school and all the necessary information has to be brought to bear. Because we could equally be talking about the 14-year-old who even if we put it at 15, who happens to be heading a family household, we have not been recognized from any of the children of the family, let alone access any of the services. With that request, and then I'll come back to the family.
It may be completely necessary to change the age overall, because obviously 15 will then still give the department the ability to raise a certain checker. But it would just mean that there would be a year in terms of the childhood household checkup, even though for those children to stay together in their home. With somebody overseeing them, it would just mean that there would be a period of a year where either the department or the person overseeing them would have to then, would then take the advice from them.
Okay, that would be it.
As much as I hate doing this,
yeah.
I think we must up the age to 60.
Okay.
I feel strongly about 50, and I can definitely stand here. Jesus comes back very, very convincingly. But I don't think I have the courage to leave children in limbo and think that some setup, somebody will make it because I know deep in my heart it won't happen. So I can live with upping the age to 16. I don't think it will kill anybody. As much as it killed me in 5 years right now. But at least I'll sleep at night knowing that there won't be a child in limbo at any age.
I'd just like to second that because I equally agree that you can't have that, it's almost like discrimination against a 16-year-old child. So it was the in between the 15 and the 16, they're not able to access any time.
We'll certainly get to a map for that because remember the purpose of recognizing the targeted household means that you're going to allow them to live together as a targeted household and therefore you're not going to attempt to put them in a back to you, this host. I have a list. First, Dr. Nadeko. I don't need to respond to something. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Obviously, then we need to know from the partner's point of view what sort of situation it puts them in. If they have a situation where there's a family and there is a 15-year-old and there are children who want to stay together, are we then blocking them from making those decisions?
Why just if there is a 15-year-old?
Well, we are blocking them at any time, I'm assuming, so that's why we were doing this.
But I'm asking you, what difference does 15-year-old
Well, it appears to be making a big difference to the department when we discussed this last week, because they were at least then able to have more options at that point than some of us could do. So I just wanted to hear...
Well, you mean in terms of honorable companions with further arguments about the rights of the
team? Yeah, because it's not just that, because as I remember our discussions last week, it wasn't about the money.
No.
It was about keeping the children together. Secondly, we want to obviously
As government, we must assume to be acting responsibly in the sense that we don't want to put children out on their own without some guarantee that the legal framework will assure them of access to financial support from government. I think that is the point of. Is there anybody else who has comments?
And you are quite right, a procurement writer, according to the definition of procurement, it means a person appointed by a beneficiary, which could be the young children, or the agency, which would be SASA obviously, to receive social assistance on the beneficiary's behalf. So it is possible that for the year while the child needs the caregiver, is not yet 16 for the supervising adult to be appointed as a procurator in terms of the Social Assistance Act, so that the supervising adult in capacity as a procurator can then receive the grant for the beneficiaries, which would be the children under 14. Obviously the 15-year-old child wouldn't be able to do anything if we need to add this 15. The other issue that we must just remind ourselves about is that this is not only about
Social Assistance. The fact that the definition of beneficiary in this instance, would it be the person who applies to make God as opposed to the person who benefits?
The definition of beneficiary says beneficiary means a person who receives social assistance in terms of section 678, etc. I'm not sure who would have to apply for the grant. Like I said, I don't have applicant says means a person who applies for social assistance in respect of himself or herself or on behalf of another person. So it could be possible that the children themselves then could apply on their own behalf of the grant, with the young children, which could then be collected by the copywriter. So we would have to look that not for okay. Like I said, I don't know this other. But the other issue that we need to bear in mind, it's not only for social assistance. There may be other assistance payable to the families as well. I'm just reminding ourselves of
the
only.
You know, as we make these laws, we must also make sure that they are going to be implemented. I don't want drum on implementation because this one is one legislation that I'll be making sure the department doesn't believe. I'll be performing oversight to the last minute. So I want to sort everything out now. So that come oversight, I have no conflict with the department. So this is my personal, I'm going to put everything I have in this one. Now, having said that, I'm saying, I don't think we should spend too much time discussing the issue of hate. Because we all feel strongly, and I can debate 15 and make sure it's in those edges to the last minute, but I don't want to do that. And I don't think we should create, I think there is no silence, there's no crisis. We up the age to 16. No one is going to wake up this. And the truth is, in any event, those home affairs is probably going to give somebody an idea at the age of 16. So somehow, we are already, in a way, addressing the different dramatic ages to synchronizing it. So we will be synchronizing it. Home affairs is going to make sure that that child has an ID. So at least that keeps us safe and the child will somehow take better care of the household. And the sexual offences, because also part of the problems that we encounter with child-headed households is the overstimulation of the children. When you become a mother, then it becomes a cliff. It brings the 16 in line with the sexual offences actions, and I can go on and on. So I'm not married to either 15 or 16. But I'm just saying, can we just up the age so that we don't create a gap that we could have avoided?
Can I say, in any case, the purpose of the exercise now is not to reopen the process. It's to clarify whether the instructions given to the commission have been adequately tested in the formulation. In this case, the instruction was synchronized and harmonized the provisions of the score with the social action. That is the message. All you need to do is to make sure that you satisfy that the limit on it has been doubt of connection. So can we then check if the formulation then adequately all that we need to do as on the board of the family is saying. Can I just finish the point and I'll give you a start. So all we need to do in this book is simply at the end of 15 as undergoing the final injection. And that obviates the need for a protracted set of provisions that might just not assist the branch. Unless there's compelling reason to say anything more than that. In comparison to the That will double check with the doctors to see whether that can be the care of them or whether there's something else that will be necessary. On the ball, exactly, I promise you that I'm not to you, and I will not before, not after that, before you have that. And I can come back. You have to go.
Before we just hear about synchronizing, I think it would just be very helpful if we could fix that there's no unintended consequences or that we actually fully seen, you know, what the departments are seeing, if there are any major issues there. Well, obviously, we can see.
What kind of possible major issues do you have in mind?
Well, why initially they felt that that year was quite important in terms of an additional space for
this is the age that has been looked at down 2 years ago.
The only
point at which the age became an issue is when we ask the question. Because it was ultimately an arbitrary question. We can justify it some other way. All ages in the final analysis are qualitative. Of course, motivated by particular empirical and other issues. But can I just say, the bottom line is that the point at which the age distinction was the court concern was expressed I looked at any other possible support that the head of child household could then ask, one can only then talk about the child support grant as the father who held the support. So the argument of support that for the head of the child household to receive the grant, they would have to be put in the social emotional. Now, if they cannot access the child, if they cannot be put under foster care because we said they're not going to be put under foster care because they prefer to be together as a household or any other alternative for because they want access to support in terms of all the other avenues. And the question becomes, what other support are they likely to qualify for and receive insofar as this and if they can't access any of those elements because of the diagnosis, then aren't we throwing them in the street for the support? So how is it going to be responsible? Now, I'm not going to intervene and talk about, well, what about how the so we're not going to concern ourselves about the possible support system for example, but precisely because of the last point that I made at the time, we also remember that most of the government services anyway is absolutely get an idea. Can get an idea in this system. Practically, we may have gone to support the system across the country with a lot of input. You have the platform, Honorable Jack.
People summarizing the arguments that we've heard over the last 2 weeks. I really understand.
Are you trying to?
I really understand. No, I really understand it. All I was saying is that I was unhappy with the scene initially, but I've listened to everybody else's motivation and arguments as to why 15 was better than 16 previously. So all I want to be sure now is I want to understand from the department what difference it's going to make. On the ground, we don't have the benefit of taking this now to the public as we've been hearing.
I'll repeat myself.
No, no, please don't repeat yourself. I understand what you're saying.
There's something else you did not understand. And I will repeat it. Yesterday, I think we we as a committee consider the matter and take a decision and issue the instructions based on that decision. The instruction to the department was only one, to synchronize the age provision relating to this matter with the social assistance. So they were not instructed to look at it any further than that. That was the decision of the committee. Now their task is to report on that matter to say in what way have they synchronized the children. And that's why the male has been paid to explain their own attempted understanding of the relationship between the two and have confined herself to that. Because she's confined in the instructions of the committee as per the procedure. So anything beyond that falls outside those things. And as you know, today's exercise is to ensure that the instructions issued by the committee yesterday and throughout the chapter have accurately been kept to that formula of our question to ensure the final. Not the time to motivate the debate, but the entire discussion is actually yesterday's debate.
Just clarity.
Yes, if you're questioning the process today, please raise it as a point of order. the process of today is that we dealt with the girl floor by floor from the past experience, the bigger past experience. We concluded that we concluded that process agonizingly shortly after 7 o'clock in the evening. That is the point at which people were allowed to motivate on the policy issues, which are the best policy options, what choices do we have, what informs the choices we have. Now that entire process came to the end of 7 o'clock. Now, today, we set to this happening, we go, and based on the instructions that have been given by the committee at the 7 o'clock, formulate amendments, bring back those amendments, and today's exercise is for one purpose and one purpose only, to ensure that the instructions already given by the committee to the government have adequate intention in the formulation that is presented. And that is the only exercise that we have to have. Do you object to that process?
Then I'm very surprised, and I'll tell you why. Because I told you last week that I could not be with you on Tuesday because of the CCRC reaching and the traditional house and also speaking in the house. And those are things, and I had rearranged everything else entirely around all the celebrations. And my understanding was that you then moved the final deliberation back to Thursday, because I had to cancel trips to do some of the stuff. So now you need to just bring me back up to speed in terms of, because I didn't know that today was the final deliberation.
We will declare both on the bill the third day of June to allow members of the council to bring their questions because they are not going to Thursday being a schedule. So the process is this. First, we deliberated on the bill, and in deliberation on the bill, we took account of everything that was said to us and any person who had a generation as we went through the various forms. We took into account any member's opinion, input, suggestion, discussion. We will then that process until 7 o'clock in the evening. We are sorry about that. We understand that members from time to time will have competing priorities, but unfortunately the process must continue as per the agreement. Unless you wanted to move the motion in the committee for the amendment of the process, I hope you are not sufficient support for us to shift from the process to the
I'm assuming that I'm doing the final
When we come to corporal punishment, for example, we have to look out to whether the alternative formulation that would be preferred reflects the true viewpoint that the committee agreed would be preferred, would be allowed so that we can then vote on the option and end up with the final. Alright, so is everybody else on board in terms of the process that I'm not in now? Any kind of
people?
In relation to process and kind of
thing?
Okay. So everybody is happy with process, no more points of order on the process. Right. What kind of reason? Talk to us.
No, it was the
request
that the explained
that the
if the age has to change to 16, the main implication is that we need to have an adult in the basement to the service house.
be, because they cannot be on their own until the elder child is recognized as a head of the child in the household.
And they would have to be prepared to accept that adult can live with them to get the grant of a primary caregiver, or to apply for foster care placement and then access the foster care for the adult.
That's the difference. In the meantime, that adult, the adult is staying with them to get the social duty protection grant on their behalf.
That's
those are the options that we can access. I just want to make sure that Dr. Magnus not staying, it's supervising them.
It's staying with
them.
That's what
I'm talking about. But Dr. Magnus, please don't take us
right now.
Because on the child-headed household, we had a long discussion. We said that an adult will be supervising. Comes in the morning, makes sure that I know that I was very clear, so please don't stay staying with them now.
No, let's not confuse this.
Yeah.
We're talking about...
That's the clarity I'm providing. Okay. I'm saying that some abuser must not stay on the child-headed household staying.
No, as part of the child-headed household that's recognized, the supervising adult is not going to be part of the household.
Yes, but that's what you were saying now.
No, she was saying something slightly different.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was saying that where the child-headed household cannot be recognized as such because of their age restriction, what would have to happen is that obviously those children are children in need of care and protection. One, and two, in the event that because they cannot be part of the household, it becomes imperative that some adult in the meantime is actually looking after those children because they cannot yet look after themselves. In that event, that adult would probably be recognized primary caregiver and the social assistance that can act with and a grant for their benefit, or could be appointed as a foster parent, in which case that adult is actually looking after them as a child and also as a benefit. So there we are not talking about the child in the household. We're talking about children cared for.
Some
or other regime or dispensation that applies to them in any given set of that's the long and short of it. But now, this debate ends there, not to be resuscitated again for the life of this girl. Right. Let's proceed. In terms of the amendments here, is there anything that, in the light of this discussion, you propose may need to be adjusted, or are we still on course?
Yes, I just
want
to clarify,
so I have 15 minutes now, friends. Yes. Very good. Right. So, other than that, any further amendments you want to talk for under this slot before we step off the pedal?
There is some on number 8. The ways that come after assistance or program for.
Alright.
You said the word.
character I was actually still on five. I haven't quite finished reading the whole course because we went into the discussion on the basis of the popular test system.
Yes.
Okay,
so we follow the process of basically looking at the chakra and then you can engage with the action.
Okay, we have to look at chakra 6 and we, the reference to the organ of sight is an easy arrow was removed because it's really the adult that's the one that's working with the children from day to day. So that was taken out to say that the adult is written to person 2 may not make any decisions concerning such household and the children in the household without consulting them, the child leading the household. And that's just been underlined because it's an addition. And it was a proposal that came from the comments received from members of the public, and that given the attitude to insight of development of the other children in the household. Then the next clause 7, the words at the end of that clause was removed. So that it now reads, the child within the household must take all day-to-day decisions relating to the household and the children in the household. The section, the part of it that says, as if that child was an adult, caregiver will remove, because although the child may take all day-to-day decisions, the fact remains the child is not an adult. Then in 8, we were a request that the children must have recourse in case there are any dissatisfaction or unhappiness with the supervising adult. So we have inserted here, and this is new wording, so the committee is welcome if I feel that the wording must be changed to make any comments in that regard. I think the child within the household, or given the verb must go out, given the age, maturity, and size of development of the other children, such other children, may report the supervising adult to the organized state or non-governmental organization before the instruction to be. If the child or children are not satisfied with the manner in which the supervising adult is performing his or her duty. And then 9, that was removed, there is references to the systems or programs specifically for poor households and vulnerable children, because again that had the effect of only then making targeted households, or this, what this clause actually does is to say that a targeted household may not be refused any grant, subsidy, aid, relief, or other assistance solely by reason of the fact that the household is a targeted household. So what that could then imply is there were other relief or assistance that could be given to the household, and that other relief or assistance is not for poor households and vulnerable children, but maybe comes from another source. And I think the Unemployment Insurance Fund was given in this as an example. Then it could be stated that this could have been the result that the URF assistance could be denied the household because it's a childhood household. So by removing the reference to for poor households and vulnerable children, one actually expands the grounds, subsidy, aid, relief, or other assistance or programs which could be provided to the childhood household.
Can I just say, I'm not over this, and I'm comfortable with this because we are not necessarily changing the law of adoption.
Yes.
We're simply specifically referring to the list available to the children of this nation. So, given the fact that the household is de facto caring, and remember we alluded to the High Court judgment where they said custody is not illegal, it's not necessarily the matter for which there must be legal concern. It is more a factual situation, something similar to the conceptualization of primary caregiving, where the social assistance that simply says, as long as you happen to be looking after children and primarily responsible for doing that, you're not going to question whether you have a court order that allows you. you to do that. You're not going to question, you know, unless it's clear blatant violation of the law, like you've trafficked the children, you've gone and stolen the children so that you can use them to ask the people. So clearly, what we're saying is that this is a case of somebody who's caring for children who needs the support to be able to control the children. There's no rational basis why they should deny them, because this person does not qualify to be a guardian. So the issue of the law guardianship is not being directly amended. That's how I would interpret this. This is how I would hope all the other government agencies confronted with this problem would be interpreted. Unless anybody thought that it's still going to solve this problem and block it, when it's not blocking, it could be the issue. Right. That nicely concludes this plot. Is there any common clarity on this one? Yes, Ms. Bokopane Guru?
Number 5, Renat. If you can put the lady, the parents, if you still have the head of the household. I was trying to see the child leaving the household, wherever there's a reference, because there was a dispute between whether she should be a child at the head of the household or a child as the head of the household, and you can circumvent that whole argument by just referring to the child leaving the household. Yes. So it is not there yet. I will use the search find function on the computer, which is that nice function that you can put words in and sign up.
You can teach me how to.
I will show you how to.
You can make it easier. You can take it.
Control.
All right. Miss Batley, it's your turn. You have your hand up? Okay. You just check it out. All right. Everybody happy, hunky dory, going, going, going. Is it not? Are they not bringing it in
class?
Okay. Can we go and drink iced tea and iced coffee and fruit juices for about 10 minutes and stretch our legs and stretch our hands? Come back here to
He's waiting for you outside.
The bike is
there.
picture of people at night with the sound on the baker's man is waiting for you outside.
What's the baker's man?
The baker's man can do one birthday after you. So you might go to the outside. Yes, the baker's man.
Tomorrow will be, you know, you can give it back.
very brief aspect and
Honky Dory, anybody who sells a smartphone.
Thank you, Chair. And I'll start just by saying you can rule me out of order if you want to. If the norms and standards for the programs for education and awareness are still going to be determined, right? I would presume that means they're not in place yet. Okay, well, I'm presuming from that because they're still going to be determined. Has any consideration been given to the proposal by the NCA that there should be some kind of lead in time between abolishing corporal punishment as it stands now and instituting the depository form of the discipline or program for depository form of the discipline? Because, as they said, I think, in their report, you're cutting off one form of discipline, you're still going to impose another form of discipline, and there's sort of nothing in between. Now, I know you don't want to have a policy discussion here, but it is of concern to me.
Right. Do you remember that where matters require regulation or any other instrument contemplated in the legislation to be put in place for the effective implementation of those provisions? Those provisions do not get into operation until and only until department choose that the way as prescribed will indeed, when that provision comes into operation, be as prescribed in the sense that there will be regulations in place so that the day when it comes, provision when it takes effect, there is a backup regulation and whatever other nonsense that is for the effective implementation. We don't need to write into this law because the law of interpretation of statutes already says that different provisions can come into operation on different days as the precedent by fraud. Naturally, the department would not, as a matter of course, operationalize or request the president to bring into operation any provision of this law, the operationalization of which requires other instruments contemplated in the law to be in place for its effective implementation. Are we all understanding this matter in the same way? Anybody is not quite kosher. Ms. W, I like it when you participate in this debate because hopefully that suggests that you might just be co-opted to cross the floor. Yes, madam. Yes. Right. What did you say? I didn't hear?
Yeah, I said I'm trying to
point out to you, and I've been so long and I forgot what I wanted to
say. Oh, you forgot. Sorry.
Okay.
Right. Take your advice. Help us with the rest of the speech.
Okay, just tell you with regard to the about the diversion program before you provide for the prostitution. Clause 6 provides for diversion. The consent to date earlier to that is second three of eight. Clause 6 provides for diversion. Subclause 6.
Let's just clarify, we're still on the platform, still not mine.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. And then also with regard to guardian in subclause 7, concern was raised that guardian is not included. They speak about substitution of a parent, caregiver, or person holding parental responsibilities. And we felt that a person holding parental responsibilities would also encompass guardian as well, but we thought that should be much broader and more encompassing.
But isn't it so that in the 2005 Act, person holding parental responsibility and guardian are mentioned at the same time in the same clause? Is that wrong? Yeah, because I just want the law to be clear. Right. So that's what we got. Right. Okay?
Parental responsibilities and rights, if the members may recall, as it's explained in section 18 of the Principal Act, consists or includes four things. There could be more, but there are four things mentioned. And these four things are care of the child, contact with the child, guardianship, and paying maintenance or maintaining the child. These are the four issues. So if you have full parental responsibilities and rights, you have all four of these things. And the person who has care of the child, under the definition of care, guiding the behavior of the children in a positive manner is specifically included. So we can put in guardian, but I would like to retain a person holding parental responsibilities and rights, because that's
wait,
the relation to a person that has care of
that issue is not for debate.
That's
only thing with this is the fact that even in the able, we have, in addition to mentioning personal holding parental, we have all specifically mentioned for guidance. All right, put it up. The other issues, then? The big one also was the pre and the post, and moving from the premise of discretionary, constitutional discretion of the prosecuting authority being the point of departure, because an offense has been committed. You remember the briefing that they gave us? They said that irrespective of how minuscule the offense may be, in principle, all offenses must be prosecuted unless compelling circumstances suggest otherwise. I'm just paraphrasing. In this instance, those compelling circumstances would be, for example, the fact that alternative interventions other than prosecution would be ideal to arrest the problem and to handle it, taking into account, for example, the extent, the severity, and the extent of the harm caused by the offense committed. This is in relation. This remember, one of the other options they have is the option to pay an admission of guilt fine. That's where the media picked up this thing about 300 grand, and they ran, and they said, "You smack." Once 300 rand, you snack twice 600 rand. It became a mathematical calculation. Let us clarify the media once and for all. There is no such thing, even under the current arrangement or any future arrangement. That's fair. Right. Can I just finish this point so that the media can come? Are there any media people there? Right. First hand, you are hearing from the chair, from the horse's mouth in the English language. No such thing was said by the proposition. What they said is that among the options they have in the event of an alleged violation of the law, depending on the circumstances, is to give the alleged offender the option of a fine, of payment of a fine, in lieu of prosecution, instead of prosecution. And they gave 300 rand as an example, and this would be in relation to a whole range of possible offenses. Corporal punishment included. But please, when Dudley, instead of using her flat object or using her palm to give a smacky to a little one, decides and take a whole bulldozer and runs over the poor little soul, certainly 300 rand as an option of the fine shall not be an option given for the prosecuting authority to consider. Right. Clear media. Right. Ms. Dudley, now let's hear you. Remember that you're exhausting all the minutes that you'll be given to motivate your
No, you can't be here for 4 hours of the morning. Yeah.
Talk.
Now, just before I say what I needed to you to bring to your attention, you mentioned here that there's options. But with those options come as an admission of guilt. That you're guilty of a criminal offence. So no matter what the options are that people take, they're going to have, that's what the NPA said, that it would come with an admission of guilt.
Let's make sure that you understand this.
No. That's what I heard him say. But this is my real question.
Wait before you ask your question. In the nature of the criminal justice system in this country, the prosecution authority exercises a constitutional discretion in any given case whether to prosecute or not to prosecute. One of the options that they have in deciding that issue is to offer the alleged offender the option of the payment of guilt in respect of a whole range of possible options. The admission of guilt fine is not entered in your record of being an offender, because it is not an order of court. It's a form of diversion, if you like. Pay a fine, you run free, you have no record. You have no record. You see. Okay. And clear. Now make your point and then we'll get to you now. Yes.
Because the defense of these people to start you was taken away, you now have a criminal offense, right? And then in number 7, you say prosecution of a parent, etc., when the early intervention program is going to fail. So now we've got prosecution of a parent.
All right, let's ask you. Now I understand your problem, man. Let me ask you. And you listen carefully. The general operation of criminal law and procedure, they take it. This act does not have to regulate anything. Alright? The prerogative to sentence, except in situations where we have gone and regulated minimum sentences that cause a furore in the court, where the court said, the legislature are now interfering with judicial prerogative by imposing minimum sentence to us. Why? Because generally, it is the prerogative of a court to decide what is the appropriate penalty once the court has found a person to be guilty of it. Okay? Normally, you would have maximum for sentences. Penalty, and then there was an exception that was made in the context of minimum sentences, but you don't have to impose a maximum or a minimum sentence. The court in its discretion will take into account a whole range of factors to decide whether, having convicted you of an offense, okay, they give you a suspended sentence for that matter, which means you don't pay anything exactly. Go to jail, you walk free, you go home and sleep at home that night. You see? It is the prerogative of the court. Or they decide, no, we'll fine you 200 rand. Okay? You'll be convicted to serve for 20 days with the option of a fine. You either pay 20 rand and go home, or if you don't have 20 rand again, you put 20. My 12-year-old daughter's language in that little place, which is a little bit cool. Any further clarity on the question?
Do we have any idea of what it's going to cost the South African police services in terms of all of this reporting and what is going to go on in the 10th, 20th, 30th, snap, all of that? The whole court issued social development on the reports from the
Do you have any idea, Mr.
And then for that person then to get some 20 rand fine and then out we go again for the next 20
minutes. All right, I'm going to rule that question.
Okay, my question is, shouldn't we be clearer on this? Shouldn't we know very clearly what are we trying to do? Okay, if we are...
Why is that not clear?
Well, it's not clear because all you need to ban corporal punishment is to do away with the defense of reasonable suspicion. You need nothing else. But now, what you're doing now is you're bringing...
Can I rule you out of order? You will have your turn. We will discuss option two. You can write in all the great things that you're suggesting now into your option two. Okay? Does that make you happy? Excellent. Sandra Bolgo, you still have some suggestions for tidying up?
I was going to do exactly that, to ask you exactly to wait for her option two and not mess up our option one. We are happy with it. We're just going to fix the last part. Six covered the diversion, so I'm not sure what you complained about. And then we'll be going back to just tidy up and reaffirm the right of the prosecuting authority to exercise their power. That's the only thing on our option. So please add all the interesting things on option two that's coming just now.
Okay, the state law advisor, you were still on the floor completing your responses to the comments.
She must go first.
I assume that Ronelle is also there to assist. So, Ronelle, you will, in any case, raise your hand.
Just before Ronelle comes in, check. We still have the study group, the MCOT people are waiting.
Is it half past four? Half past five?
Yes.
All right, can we just quickly... My white space is 25 past five. 25
minutes.
Yeah. Can we just quickly get the state law advisor was still on the floor, but before that, Ronelle had some comments, to this computer a response, but Brunel, you wanted to come in here? Yeah? Yeah.
Okay, Chair, there's just two things. If you look at 6 in the document that was distributed, it says the parents, caregiver, etc., will be supported for subjecting a child in a self-defense punishment must be deferred. One can change that when it's reported to say that the decision must have been charged. And then it wouldn't be for inappropriate forms of punishment, it would actually be a charge of either abuse or assault. Because that's really what one would charge it with. If it has to be very clearly stated that this is what kicks in when a person is being charged with having given his child a high risk. That's one thing that could be considered. The other issue, and I'm not sure, and in...
Can I just clarify something there? Are we talking about one specific person, or are we talking about a specific series or category of offense which could include abuse, punishment, inappropriate,
The offenses that are available to us is the common law crime of assault. I'm not a criminal law expert, but the common law crime of assault is available to us. And the other offence that's available to us is the offence of abuse that's created by the Principal Act. Those are the two offences that I'm aware of that is available to us on the basis of which parents could be prosecuted. Because as it stands now, it's only, you are reported, you are not charged. So already when you are reported, you have to be now diverted. Because what is the issue really here is when you are charged, we don't want to necessarily throw you in jail. We want to leave the option open. That's why I'm proposing that
the only way
to consider changing that to say
yes,
this kicks
right.
in when you are charged
yes.
with an
that's
offense
right.
with in relation to a child. And the
can
other
I just clarify something?
Yes.
You just said something about the offense of abuse or assault. And removal of reasonable access assessment would then expose any person who assaults a child in the name of corporal punishment to then also be guilty of abuse and be prosecuted in terms of a common law. Okay. Last time we talked about the offense of corporal punishment. If we do introduce it as an additional form of offense, it's from the first one we have to define what corporal punishment is. Okay. Or alternatively, you would have a heading saying corporal punishment abolished, but in the actual text describe the kind of conduct which effectively would constitute corporal punishment. Not call it corporal punishment in the actual text, but the heading would say corporal punishment. And then say if you do want to see you are committing an offense. Alright? So that there's certainty, because there was this question that does the mere fact that you have removed and reasonable to provide sufficient clarity and certainty that you're expressly banning the right to exercise corporal punishment, a cultural or religious prerogative, as the constitutional court judgment seem to indicate, is the understanding out there of the protagonist who say that corporal punishment is not safe. In other words, we do not want it to be deduced or inferred that we are banning corporal punishment. We want it to be obvious. That was the intention of the NCOP. They may not have adequately gone far enough to then create an offense of corporal punishment. But clearly the intent is to prohibit corporal punishment. And we said if you prohibit something, you must create an offense or create a civil remedy. And you can't simply prohibit nullum crimen sine lege. No criminal offense without a specific prohibition in the law. Right. So that's so even if it amounts to duplication, you could either be charged in terms of the common law for false, you could either be charged in terms of the offense of abuse under the act, or you could be charged in terms of the specific offense of corporal punishment in the act. Nothing says prevent. The same set subset of criteria to be used to describe different kinds of offenses. Right? Obviously, you can't be charged twice in respect of the same set event. That is the difference. State law advisor, am I misrepresenting our jurisprudence in our law? Because the main objective is that we want most likely to leave here being searched whether ultimately are we then compelled punishment of criminal offense or punishment. But the certain teaching the public is only for South Africa what they say. Right. That's how we want it to be. Unless you can tell us that it's impossible in law or in drafting to organize it that way, we want it that way. So say the abolition. Right. Do you have any response to this?
And then there is a system in terms which is currently employed by the court, whereby a certain prosecution is suspended, and then that person must go for, say, an anger management course. I know that one publicized case was Dirk Freisalk, the high jumper, who he and his trainer were charged with assaulting someone, and prosecution was suspended, and he and his trainer were sent for an anger management course, and then they were not prosecuted. But I'm not sure in terms of which legislation that was done, and unfortunately when the NTA was here, they didn't elaborate on that.
It doesn't matter. We will create such a system.
Okay. Because that really, I think, is ideally what we would like. Prosecution. If a charge is laid, that we suspend prosecution, and that the condition is that the person goes for this diversion.
That's one.
But what we must still leave open to the NTA is to prosecute, because if it's a repeated offender, even though it's not a serious offense, that they would want to prosecute because of the person being a repeated offender and having already been for the diversion. Alternatively, if a person has seriously assaulted a child, you will not even want to send that person for diversion. You want to immediately prosecute them.
Nice.
Exactly.
Yes, Ms.
I just wanted to say that I'm just trying, I think it's because a lot of sexual abuse cases against children, especially your like teenager, I dealt with in that, because as a PCO we've participated in partnership with that, where the young person says, you know, I don't want to continue with the prosecution. I'm not going to participate, whatever the reasons. And then we would say, okay, we are not letting this, the perpetrator free. We say the perpetrator must go for A, B, C, D, F, G. It's something that's been used actually quite a lot, especially in the sexual offenses.
Consensus is that is the system. What we are saying is that system is going to be spelled out here, even if it means duplicating what is already in place.
It says restorative justice, something like that.
Now, can I, at this point, adjourn the meeting for an hour, allow the nap and the formulation, the completion of drafting and redrafting. In the meantime, you could then look at a reformulation of option one, and then when we come back, we're no longer motivating, we're just checking if the wording is accurate, proceed to option two and option three. After finishing that, do the rest of the goal, and hopefully be able to go home before 12 midnight. Right? An example. Oh, sorry, the state line, right? Can I rudely adjourn the meeting exactly at this point? Right? In the formulation, you will also look at any of the other issues raised and how you could deal with them, so that when we come back, we can deal with all of the issues. I adjourn now until half past six. Thank you very much.
If your child wants to lie a child, not just going to be given out from a doctor or start doing anything, because then now if they're trying to prosecute the parents, when the parents are out in court, the parents are going to try leaving it their child for the prosecution out the window, so they don't even bother. If it's a serious case of the parents using the child so badly that the child can't walk, then leaving it their child, it exceeds the limits of reasonable
child.
So on the basis of that,
they can... Let's say the child and say it's not reasonable. I mean, they're not using the case of reasonable child. So they use, for example,
Because they know that offense exists. Whether the parent raises it or not is not an issue. Now we abolish the defense of legally. The only thing that we really need to do just abolish the defense of reasonable self charging. That's all we really need to do.
But if you abolish the defense, then you can count another defense.
There's no other defense. This is a really specific common law defense that exists with regard to parents and children. There's not another defense.
Are you just saying you go with your first one?
Thank you.
and they reoffend. Now this could work. So how would it be the very system or the possibility of the Hi, Monday is Tuesday and okay, bye. In terms of what you're going to say, this is just one thing of the book, so you have to report physical abuse to the I'm just putting something as I said, so this is working a bit here. The first, my changes are so much. Okay. The common rule is that basically what is going to be abolishing the common rule is that we should have had 5 minutes.
available to someone who could be discriminated against reasonable sexuality and make the same for them, you know, within the sex. Now, what happens to the government? If this is abolished, reasonable sexuality, okay? So, for example, if you don't really have a court for punishment, for example, if you don't abolish it, if you abolish the decisions of reasonable sexuality, can you administer court for punishment and have another defense other than reasonable sexuality? Is that the only defense you can
include? Yeah, then there's a problem. It's the first. It's the first for the defense of reasonable sexuality. There's no law that says you know this child. There's just a very defense of reasonable sexuality if you are a teacher.
Prosecution as a last resort, and diversion as a first resort, but without
I've got this here,
anything where it goes to child is just acceptable.
Yeah, but we don't support
it. If there is a family violence intervention place, that you've got to bear in mind. And then you were talking about being reported to the Social Welfare Department. There's a section 110 that includes anybody. Yeah, they're there.
No, but I mean, get informed, and then when it's reported to social development, they're not obliged to go to court. They're not obliged to report it to the police, and they go to civil court, they don't go to criminal court. They go to children's court inquiries. But that's when it's the parents, not a criminal. It's a criminal.
He's your own attorney.
Yeah.
Sorry, we need shelter. Okay.
No person may administer social punishment to a child or subject to any form of as a child needs to be part of the political document. Talking about all of these other steps to ensure that the situation in the room is okay. Now, with regard to this, or such, what is something around also in this? So, we need to. So, like as you said, we have a diversion. We
even if that's your name, like the powers of the national prosecuting authority, the constitutional powers of the living into it. Maybe you can say what constitutes the reasonable sexuality, because the difference of the reasonable sexuality is the force of policy of the body. So maybe you can say what does the sex constitution of the reasonable sexuality.
Hello.
And yeah. An open ended letter to what? And also,
can you hear me?
Yep. And then
hello?
If you ask your corporate punishment, if you abolish corporate punishment, we need to at least do some sort of parameters.
So what?
Constitute corporate punishment. So would it be putting it in for corporate punishment if you're not going to have it? If you can
tell us that, There must be, but I have no idea where. We're kind of in the committees and kind of like a little pool. Have a coffee break.
Human Rights Commission's definition of...
Hang on a second, I need to call you back.
Human Rights Commission's definition of corporate punishment.
What is it?
No,
you
have it.
No. I don't have it. I've
You can say that it's like you can't use the law in education tool, you know, to tell the public that corporate punishment of a child is assault.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is my problem is that he wants a specific offense for corporate punishment. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, like, for example, under abuse, abuse is defined. And I mean, actually, corporal punishment sits under abuse. It could be prosecuted on the grounds of abuse.
But you don't prosecute the abuse, you prosecute the assault.
Okay. Only if you have to, if it's emotional abuse, you're supposed to get it abuse. Well, but there isn't a definition of assault.
No, that's a common law crime.
But he, and that's what he's saying, if he wants a specific offense created for the, so, you know, and you can do that in here by just saying anybody that...
If someone assaults a child and they're the kid, you can charge them with individual with abuse, or you can charge them with common law assault. Or assault in the NDR.
But it's what's more honest to do.
No,
He wants to create an offense.
He basically also what you heard.
What do you want? If you're abolishing corporal punishment, people must be clear as to what constitutes corporal punishment. Okay? But now the thing is that they will say, if you say corporal punishment, or the following constitutes, the following, what do you refer to here? The following constitutes corporal punishment, but not limited to, you know, the following, whatever, but not limited to, but to give some sort of more niche guideline, you know, like,
mess up the they went through the definition of corporal punishment in the dictionary, and they got out the dictionary, and they looked at it, and they were very clear that it's self-defining, that corporal punishment
is, you not being there.
And one thing that ABC wants her to be is that, yeah, I think what Daniel said to me, you know, said to me, I think the thing she wants to do is what I want to
do. And that's what I needed to go back, and I only voted it on tomorrow. Much enjoyed education, dating, and the right dating of what they want these two. They must ensure education and awareness that they can focus on the traditional corporate punishment that dies of a child in grade 7. Be available to other republics, some of these predecessors to communicate with public awareness. Okay. They both, as well as, but you see, they don't want it to be movement reflected. Yes. But you see, they don't want it to look as if there's nothing in place, the children can just do what they want to. You know what I'm saying? They want to also sign up to into that media type of hard type of thing, you know?
But that was what Dean Benjamin was putting forward.
Yeah.
She was saying, get rid of in section 5A. She was basically saying, get rid of that.
I think what you think we need to collapse both. But we shouldn't make it we abolishing corporal punishment, but there's nothing in place. So yes, it says that, because otherwise children can assume they can do what they want to say. They say,
Department of Support is to ensure that education process, but you put some sort of mechanism in place. You take the professional way, what you're going to put
that's
in place.
It. Sure,
that's yeah. The program. But now you feel this should be collapsed together. You know, so instead of.
He's not giving instructions.
But you could do that. I mean, her point is valid, and he accepts that. But this is the thing that's essential: is to approach, you know, programs promoting appropriate discipline. There's no need to include a definition on corporal punishment. It's self-defining. Corporal relates to the body and the physical. So that any punishment inflicted on the body. And they had a discussion about that. They were very clear that it's kind of self-defining. That Mike is saying is that what's not clear is that, you know, corporal punishment constitutes assault, therefore he's wanting a specific prohibition on that form of assault in the bill, in this bill. And there's more than one way to...
For example, in section, you know, the section 305, there are offences created. Section 121 is the prohibition on child labour and using children as slaves or as serfs and all that kind of thing. So there's a specific subclause in 305 that says if you break section 141, you are guilty of an offence. And that's what he's talking about in terms of wanting to see an offence in the bill. It's just that cross-reference to 305. We don't need a definition of corporal punishment.
One instructive for us was to list what constitutes corporal punishment, but put the something to a list of something, but not limited to.
You don't want to penalize people. You don't want to say the 6%, because what's the line between abuse and corporal punishment and assault? It's going to create great confusion.
Mm. Well, what's the line between abuse and assault? Right.
They're the same thing. No, abuse includes emotional abuse, so you can. But when it comes to physical assault or sexual assault, that's one thing.
And you go on the common law.
Common law, you're charging them assault.
Has the same thing around abuse of an older person. In the older person's law, there's no such thing as assault or an emotional.
Now, the thing is, this is that if you say, yeah, if you say, What do you say about corporal punishment? You say that's an infliction on the body?
Mm-hmm. It's not. I mean, corporal means of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So any punishment that is inflicted on the body.
But would it be the impact of the punishment, or the actual punishment, or would it be emotional, or would it be physical?
It's not emotional. It's purely physical.
If I come back to that part of the subject of assault, it includes but is not limited to such a
person. No child shall be guilty?
No child shall be subject to assault. It includes but is not limited to the person.
In fact,
that
it's clean.
Mm.
It doesn't create any confusion with assault.
Because it shows that corporal punishment is the fault. You know what I'm saying?
No child may be subjected to assault, which includes corporal punishment, or punishment in a cruel and inhuman. No child may be subjected to assault, which includes corporal punishment or subjection or punishment.
That would include turning the child up without kicking.
That's the last one.
Those sort of scenarios.
No child may be subjected to assault,
But it includes that it's not limited to corporal punishment.
We don't need to really take it full stuff here, which is part of your core normally to get anyway, because it's still here. No trauma is being subjected to the source, which includes corporal punishment, which includes but not limited to corporal punishment, or to be punished in the cruel.
Or punishment in the cruel and that inhuman manner.
Or punishment in the cruel. Yeah, there's something if we teach, no trauma is subjected to the source, which includes but not limited to corporal punishment, trauma, punishment in the cruel,
or to be punished in the cruel in the way of getting there.
Or to be punished in the cruel.
Inhuman or degrading.
Then you've got to define that.
Sorry?
No, it's already here in the law.
No, it's already in the constitution.
It's already in the law as well. That just covers us on other ways of other kinds of punishment.
It's something not defined in law.
No, it's just in common law. It's defined as in the common law.
Yeah.
So everyone knows what assault is.
Yeah.
Assault is literally an invasion of someone's bodily integrity. If you operate on someone without the consent, that's assault.
But this is fairly different.
But it's smacked upon itself, that part is not invasion.
No, it is. That's assault.
It doesn't go in.
No, it doesn't. If I hit you on the head, that's not invasion. It's still assault. If I punch you, it's still assault, right? So if you punch a child, it's assault.
But you see, the thing is this, is that now if we say the corporal, if we include corporal punishment assault, are you going to allow for diversion for corporal punishment specifically and not for assault?
You don't want to, because corporal punishment and assault are the same thing. They often merge and merge into the same
thing. Yeah, but what they want to do, they want to allow for some sort of diversion for corporal punishment only.
Yeah.
In the sense, like, as you say, diversion comes
from... But diversion is for itself already. You use diversion for itself already. You also want them to use diversion for a minor assault as well. Social worker already does it. Social workers come to child with a broken arm, they do not prosecute the child. Why? Because they don't go to the family, so they work with the family.
But how is that dealt with legally?
Yeah.
They don't take it to the police. So
but that's not... The NPA would tell you. And the NPA would have to tell you.
No, but the NPA can also divert.
You bring the NPA in front of the committee and that's what they say. They say every case has to be prosecuted.
No, Anna said no.
That's what the NPA will say because under the terms of the law, actually you have to do that.
That all the cases are prosecuted, but the NPA is obliged to prosecute any case unless it's compelling reason as to why they shouldn't prosecute.
Yes, they've got a whole diversion policy in Sweden, I think.
They just break up of the family.
A whole diversion policy in Section 7 of the prosecution guidelines. Diversion practice and policy. Where they set out when the prosecutors can divert and when they can't.
Can I just...
Can
you get the diversion...
We need the prosecution guidelines to be on the Justice Department website.
I lose power though, that's my problem.
No, it's not that, okay.
Okay, let me use your father. But I don't have the right cable for yours. It's always modern technology.
Can you take the battery? Can you swap batteries around?
Let's just be fairly up here.
But what do you want to see it? Or do you want to talk to someone who knows it?
No, and to see it in the national, also you can see the citizens from the voting numbers tomorrow.
Okay, so what are we looking for?